From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello to everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, my producer, my friend, the heartthrob of Bob After Dark.
Yes.
Compact himself.
Oh, hey there, Bob. Yes.
Oh, hey there, Compact.
Another rousing episode of Bob
rousing
After
episode,
Dark.
Rousing episode, he says. Yes, rousing, he
Rebel
says.
Rousing.
Rebel rousing, he cries, boo, boo, boo.
Yes, right? I think that's the old saying, right?
Compact, what's been going on, man?
Oh, Bob, I tell you what. Busy. I got to fix that camera on you too, Bob, but I'll do that for our folks on the Jet TV. But here's the thing, Bob. Had a great weekend. What did I do?
What did you do?
What did I do? You know, I saw a movie.
Oh, what'd you see?
I saw Scream 6.
How what? So you seen it before I did?
I did see it. I saw
I gave you homework, by the way. Did you do it?
How long? When was that? Last week's homework?
Yeah.
What did I miss?
Did you watch Megan?
I didn't watch Megan yet.
That was the homework.
But is it still in the theaters, though?
No, it's on Peacock.
Oh. I don't know if anyone... Oh, I watch wrestling. I should have Peacock there.
If you watch, do you have Comcast? Do you get
I
free
got Comcast.
You get free Peacock?
I get free Peacock?
Yeah, because you have Comcast.
I'm going to have to call them up and tell them, I want my Peacock.
You get your free Peacock, so then you can watch Megan.
I can watch Megan. Well, I did see Scream 6, which is kind of... It's kind of like Megan there, I guess you could say, right?
I guess.
He's in New York this time.
That's what I hear.
Can you believe it?
I have heard nothing but good things about the movie. I love Scream, particularly just one. I mean, don't get me wrong. I liked Scream 5. Yeah, Scream 5 was okay. Scream 4 was okay. Yeah. I really like 1. 2 is all right, except they killed off my favorite character of all time. So that was unfortunate. I like Scream, the franchise. It's pretty good.
Yeah. No, it's a great franchise. And again, a little something to get spooked in the late winter early spring months, because, you know, it's not just all October stuff there, but he's lost in New York. Well, he's not lost in New York.
Lost in New York?
Scream comes to New York.
Scream comes to New York. And then I've had a lot.
Well, let me know. While you're talking, I'm going to adjust your camera.
Yeah, that sounds good. What's wrong with my camera? Well, you can see me. Anyway, I'll move on. So this the past week since I've seen you, I've been playing catch up on some movie stuff that I've been enjoying watching. As I was saying, I watched Megan, the a modern day take on the killer doll for franchise theory, whatever you want to call it, genre. As you guys may know, I am not the biggest fan in the world of dolls. A fan of the show that's been around for was that a vampire? I just walked by my camera. If you guys may know, dolls are not my thing. Dolls, in fact, scare the living heck out of me. I don't do dolls, but I went and I sucked up my bravery and I watched Megan.
Megan.
And I enjoyed it. It was pretty good. I liked it just enough.
Were you terrified?
I think it was more robot than doll, so it didn't freak me out as bad as I thought it would.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, Megan, too, is meant to be like I'm not going to ruin the movie, but it's just like a friend of somebody's. And
yeah, you got to watch that. You got to watch. It was actually really good. It was well made, too, so you got to check that out. I joined the gym.
You joined the gym?
I joined a gym, I should say. I joined a gym, man. That was that's my biggest update. Bob's getting ready to be on TV soon. It's time to start looking a little better. I'm not getting any younger, and so I joined the gym. That's been my biggest update that I've kind of blown myself away that I'm doing, because I have the Midwest build, you know, the Midwest dad build, as I always say.
And the Midwest?
I need to look prettier, that's all. I got TV coming up, and...
Well, nothing wrong with the Midwest dad.
Nothing wrong with getting a little healthier either.
Are you looking to get jacked like Hulk Hogan?
Oh, geez, no. I don't think I'd ever look good jacked, but, slimming down a little bit, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Pythons, right?
The 24, is it 24-inch pythons?
24-inch pythons, yeah.
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 Well, if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we are your weekly show where we talk about legends, lore, supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, which are real, apparently, by the way.
Yeah, how about that?
Lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and, of course, Count Panic's favorite horror film.
I got to go with classic Halloween, of course. Michael Myers terrorizing the folks there in Illinois. Now, Scream, though, I do like the commentary they do on Scream as far as the horror genre goes as a whole. But if you're asking me just one, pick one horror movie, I'll go with the original Halloween, Bob.
It's a good pick.
And let me guess yours. Leprechaun.
No. However, we are in St. Patrick's Day week. Leprechaun. Leprechaun is... The first one's decent. It's a good little horror movie. And then it becomes more and more ridiculous, which, you know, some people are into. I like horror comedy as much as the next person, so... It just gets really ridiculous. No, my favorite horror film of all time is... That's a great question.
See, well, you asked the question
first.
Oh,
easy. Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead.
The George Romero version.
All right, there you go.
That's my favorite horror film of all time.
Well, you can't go wrong with those classics.
All right, so we split the show up into two parts, which we haven't done in a hot minute.
Got to split the show up right now.
It's been a hot minute, but we got the weird spooky news of the week back. That's where you, the fans, submit articles to me that I'll be talking about on the show. It could be anything from aliens are real, and making it to mainstream media. What are you going over
well,
there?
I like these news stories, but before we do that,
yeah.
Depending on when this podcast comes out, do we have something to promote?
Oh, we do. Yes, it won't be out by then.
Okay,
but I'll promote it anyway. Saturday, the 18th of March, Count Panic and I are going to be at Sip Coffee House 2 in Highland, Indiana. We're doing a live podcast recording.
We'll be there.
We're headlining.
I know.
It's very weird, man. We're gonna be at Sip Coffee House 2, hanging out with the paranormal guys. Oh, that's gonna be really cool. It's gonna be a good time. I'll have that recording up. We're gonna be talking about haunted places in Northwest Indiana and some cryptid sightings along the way too.
I can't wait. It should be a fun time. It's been a while since we did a show.
Yeah, since you and I have done something live outside the studio, like me and you together, it's been a hot minute.
Been forever.
A good time. But anyway, like I was saying,
spooky news stories.
But anyway, other than aliens are real,
all right,
that's apparent at this point.
That's a thing.
So other than the aliens being real, we have anything that's like weird, spooky. So any kind of ghost sighting, cryptid sighting, or just very unusually strange or weird advances in science that borderline on science fiction. So all three of our news stories this week come from Tim Binal.
Who isn't
credited anymore. I wonder if I've scared them off from crediting Tim as the article writer on Coast to Coast AM. And if it's not Tim writing them anymore, whoever it is, you deserve... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Tim Binal definitely wrote this one. It was just farther below than I'm used to seeing. Tim, thank you. Bottom of my heart. Sometimes, if it wasn't for
he was
you,
down spooky, there, yeah.
If it wasn't for you, spooky news sometimes wouldn't make it. And this week, we have a lot of lore. I miss doing this news, so we're coming back to it. So thanks, Tim Binal from Coast to Coast AM for giving us our three stories this week.
Mm-hmm.
This first one, we're going to be talking about a video, which I'm going to share with Count Panic now because I want his raw opinion. And by raw opinion, I mean I don't want him to know that I'm doing this, or I don't want him to see it prior to it. I want him to be able to hop out and be like, "Oh yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking at," or "This is my opinion on said topic." So I'm sending that over right now. Count Panic's got it, and the video says, and it's about his favorite location: two Loch Ness monsters spotted on webcam. A pair of peculiar anomalies spotted on a Loch Ness webcam has left many wondering if the iconic site has two monsters. The curious disturbances in the video were reportedly noticed by the season live streamer viewer Eon O'Fartohagen. I apologize if I butchered that. Eoino apostrophe Faodhagain earlier this month. After initially observing an odd wake in the water, which he believes was the famous, Nessie there, your girl there, Count.
Yeah, yeah.
The webcam watcher was surprised to see two Nessie-like humps emerge from Loch Ness shortly thereafter, noting that three appears to be no disturbance of water visible between the objects. He argued that this is an indication that there are two separate moving creatures in the loch. While Loch Ness having two monsters may sound like a fantastic idea dreamed up by marketing guru, Overhagen posits that this scenario would actually explain an abundance of different descriptions put forth by people claiming that they have seen the cryptid. Eyewitnesses could be viewing two different creatures coexisting in one lake, he mused, suggesting that one of the animals may be a giant eel while the other might just be completely unknown. So, Count, did you get a chance to watch the video?
Yeah, I saw it, Bob.
What's your take?
Now, here's the thing. It's one of those videos where it's not really crystal clear. You see a little something moving in the water, but you're not seeing really that much action. It's almost like I would have to see the full-on neck out, right? The neck, that famous Nessie neck sticking out and kind of going down the lake there. But the problem is it's still a little too grainy, and you really still don't see too much of the action. So, I'm not going to say it's not a couple
Count,
of Nessies.
Since you've been producing Bob After Dark,
yeah,
have you ever seen, what is the most believable video you've ever seen?
Gosh, believable video ever?
Because every video I've ever showed you, like, well, yeah, you know, it's not crystal clear.
What I won last blurry week with the screaming, remember it was screaming like a goat?
Oh, gosh, the rake. You believe the rake video?
The rake was the Gary Witch, I think, was the most
realistic. Oh, my goodness.
Video,
of course so you had to bring that up.
A lot of times these videos are grainy, so it's hard to trust grainy videos, Bob. But I guess that goes with the territory of a paranormal investigation, cryptid investigation. You got to deal with some grainy video, grainy footage.
Excellent. Yeah. Oh, so that's the story. That's your panic.
That's my take.
Hashtag panic take. Yeah. It makes sense. You know, people have had different descriptions of the things they've seen out of Loch Ness. So if there's two creatures, I guess the theory makes 100% sense.
Yeah.
I think it's too early to make it a hypothesis. I'm not going to discredit this person. I need to see more footage.
Okay. No. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm with you, Bob. I want to see some long neck action coming out of that.
Okay. I have a very bizarre story.
Okay.
Written by our old pal Tim Benall once again.
All right.
There's a serial cat shaver on prowl in Britain. Cat owners in several British communities are on edge due to a sinister miscreant who has been shaving their pets. Not hurting them, just shaving them. According to a local media report, the bizarre case began around Christmas in the town of Wanderslade when a resident's feline friend returned home with a sizable patch of fur missing. I was so angry that some nasty human decided to shave my cat, she recalled. It was very distressing. However, it soon became apparent that this was no isolated incident, as in the weeks and months that followed, the razor-wielding near-doer struck again in an array of neighboring communities within the British County of Kent. While the total number of cats that have fallen victim to the phantom's shaver is uncertain, an interactive map like the one we have here in America about Mothman, produced by the group Animals Lost and Found, suggests that dozens of animals have been on the receiving end of the troublemaker's handiwork. Speaking of the rascal's rather prolific nature, the organization's spokesperson, Natasha McPhee, noted that there are roads where the two or three attacks have happened. One unfortunate owner revealed that their cats seemingly have been singled out by the predator for repeated shavings to the point that the animal's now particularly skittish around her, which is very unfortunate. Based on the way that the feline's behavior has changed, she argued that it is obviously a human who is doing it. It's a clear patch. It's not like an animal scratch or something. These are somebody's legitimately busting out like an electronic shaver and shaving a patch of cat hair off. With the cat shaver on the prowl and the attacks increasing in frequency, Animals Lost and Found are advising owners to keep a close eye on their feline friends, lest they wind crossing paths with the scoundrel. The group are also urging people to install security cameras if possible, so they might be able to catch the culprit in an act. Without proper evidence of who's doing this, McPhee eliminated, then I fear that it may be happening and no one will be able to be held accountable. Beyond that, no one can help but worry that the person who may eventually grow bored with shaving cats may move on to targeting people.
Interesting, Bob.
Hashtag panic stake.
Well, Bob, you know, it's one thing to go around. You shouldn't be shaving anybody's a cat, especially without permission. But it's one thing to shave a cat. The next thing is to shave a human being. I mean, that's just one step further, just to madness there. But my word of advice for anybody out there, don't shave anybody else's cat, and don't shave anybody else while you're at it. But maybe ask permission before you shave somebody else's cat. That's all.
Don't
I
shave say. Somebody else's cat.
Ask,
well, you, I don't, what is the what is what are permission. You doing? Do you? Or are you, not you. Not you.
Oh, okay.
What are you doing? I'm producing the show. What are you doing with your life? Like, listen to me. I've covered some nonsense in my career on the show. I've covered some nonsense. And I don't know, man. I've been there. I've done it several times.
You shaved somebody's calf?
No, like reporting these
things. Oh, reporting nonsense.
This is the strangest story I have ever reported on in my career.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Who is just going around shaving a cat?
It's disturbing.
Like, you know, the only... I don't even know if this... I can't even say this is the only way I would say it's, like, okay to do, because it's not. I guess if the person, like, felt bad if they thought the cat was... that had, like, fleas or something.
I mean, there are hairless cats out there.
And there, I mean, yeah. Say. What's the deal with them anyway? It's a Ghostbusters 2 reference, by the
hairless
way.
Hairless cat.
Hairless cat. Thank you for knowing that. That's the only time I could see it, but even then I'd be like, why are you shaving cats, man?
Yeah.
And it's not like they're shaving them completely bald. They're, like... just shaving a patch and moving on. And it's not even a prank. No. It's silly nonsense.
No. They got to be stopped.
And I are going to Britain. We're going to catch the cat shaver.
The mystery
they're calling
shaver.
Him the Phantom Shaver.
That's probably a correct term for him. Yeah.
You know, we're not a true crime podcast, but this has officially become something I'm going to get to the bottom of. This is my unsolved mystery.
I'm sure the cats don't appreciate it either.
No, I'm going. We're going to Britain. You and I are going to go save those kitties.
Magnum opus.
What did I use?
Corpus Christi.
Or my corpus Christi. That takes me back. All right, let's move on. Finally, Florida cops arrest fortune teller wanted by police in Pennsylvania. A self-described fortune teller wanted by police in Pennsylvania has been found in Florida after managing to evade capture for weeks. Authorities in the community of North Huntington issued an arrest warrant for Alexis Candy Mitchell back in February after a resident reported that the perpetrator clairvoyant, who uses the moniker Psychic Novena, had blinked him out of more than $10,000. At the time, cops indicated that they had no idea where she may have been located. However, the proverbial psychic search came to an end Monday night when police in Florida were enlisted to take her into custody after she had been tracked down in the city of Delray Beach. In announcing the capture on Facebook, the Westmoreland County Sheriff's Office had a little bit more fun with the news, declaring that fortune teller didn't see her arrest coming. Mm-hmm. I mean, good job, guys. Rather than using a psychic to locate Mitchell, they indicated that it was simply good old-fashioned police work on the part of their fugitive apprehensive unit, which determined Mitchell's whereabouts following weeks at long hunt. While the fortune teller will eventually have her day in court to answer to the multiple crimes in which she has been charged, the sheriff's office amusingly indicated that as for now, Mitchell's future is clear to include incarceration as in a Florida jail as she awaits extradition to Pennsylvania. Hashtag panic.
Well, you know, Bob, I know there's people out there. There's real folk, fortune tellers, of course, out there. And there's some that may take advantage of the system. Of course, these folks come with their jokes here in this article. But I'll be honest, Bob. I'm trying to think. I don't think I ever had my fortune read by at least a fortune teller. You know, you drive down the roads at night and you see the neon sign, fortune teller. Sure, yeah. I've never done that. This story makes me want to maybe do that.
You're going to pay for a fortune telling?
How much is a fortune teller?
Not cheap.
Really? How much is it?
I mean, okay.
Not with the crystal ball, honestly.
So you want like a tarot reading? Because I'll do your tarot reading.
No, I know. And I could get that done, of course. But I want the whole experience, the crystal ball and the shaking of the table and all that floating.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, man.
Maybe not. The full experience, though, Bob.
Count Panic.
Have you ever done it?
Count Panic.
Yeah.
And you're going to level one-on-one. We're going to have a chat. Do I believe? Ask me if I believe psychics are real.
You believe psychics are real?
Yes. Right. I do believe that there are people gifted out there to be able to do certain supernatural abilities. I am a clairvoyant. I am very much a empath as well. So, like, I guess you can call me a psychic. But I ripped this joke right off of Joe Diamond. So sorry, Joe. But you know the concept of like, are you a medium? No, I'm more like a 2X. That's my joke. I've ripped off Joe Diamond. But I'm not. I'm not. You know. I don't know. I don't parade that term around very much. there are people out there with very extraordinary abilities to be able to do things like tell someone's past or speak to a spirit or whatever it might be. And then there are frauds. There are people out there who do what's called like a cold call, or a cold tell, I should say, and be able to pick up on simple things like, somebody in this room's birthday is November who had a dad that began with, is it B or D? And someone will be like, oh my goodness, yeah, oh yeah, your dad said to say, I, you know what I mean? Like that, there are people out there. And I'm not saying every psychic's a fraud, and I'm not saying every, you know, whatever, like I get that. But there are a good chunk of them that are.
Yeah,
and I know a lot of, you know, and some of the ones you might catch up on, like on those neon signs in the middle of the night. I don't know how much you could trust that. That's very, it's very different.
It's a little different out there. But they're still out there for people to, I don't know, take advantage of, maybe. Or to take advantage of you, I guess.
I guess that's the point. So, as the, you know, crime doesn't pay sometimes, and this particular psychic got caught up in things.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're looking to get something read, like your fortune read, like, do some research. Find yourself somebody in your area that has, like, I don't know. Ask around. I promise you have one of your friends that does tarot readings. It's more common than you think,
folks. Yeah,
it's
pretty a trendy thing nowadays for people to do. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, just, and then again, I don't want phone psychics coming to beat down my door being like, Bob, how dare you throw us under the bus like that?
Vera, Mrs. Cleo.
Did you see the documentary?
No.
Oh, my God, dude. I watched it with Queen of the Night several weeks ago.
Was it on?
You know? HBO Max.
HBO Max.
You could sponsor me,
I could figure
the way.
It out.
You could sponsor me, by the way, HBO Max. But the Miss Cleo documentary is absolutely brilliant. They have some of the phone psychics that they hired were just people that read from a script.
Miss Cleo, went in her commercials, though, she had the full-on get-up with the crystal ball and everything. It was
Go watch.
Call me now.
219-845-1100. You can call me any day we're here doing the show live.
What's your personal number? Can we call you, too?
You can call me whenever you want on my personal number.
We got to get that hotline back up.
I would love to get the hotline back up. I got to get that stuff sorted, you know.
It'd be pretty cool to have that back. Dracula liked you leaving messages there for us. But psychics, again, Bob, it's a crazy thing you got to kind of watch out for and just, you know, make sure everything's by the book, so to speak. But they are cool roadside attractions, I guess. Neon signs, they got psychic. Open. Come on in. Get your fortune ready.
Call me now. All right, Count, you want to take a quick break?
Sure.
All right, folks, stick around for our live fans. We'll be right back. And for podcast fans, you'll be hearing words from a show that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
And we're back.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
Wow. Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Oh, you know, not too bad. What'd you do during break?
Bob, you wouldn't believe it. During the break, I started taking fortune reading.
Oh, what kind of fortune? Tarot reading, tea reading, coffee reading, palm reading?
Phone line.
Oh, you called a phone psychic.
Well, they call me. I set my own phone line now.
Oh, you have your own.
Call me now.
Call you now.
Call Panic Now.
Call Panic Now. Is every fortune, I see a beer and cheese curds in the future.
It's all at the Bar's Cheese Castle at the end of the day. But, yeah, took up the ancient art of fortune telling. So I'll give out a number soon enough, and things will be up and running. But can't wait to hear from you as you call me now. Or call me later. I'll call you back.
Excellent.
What'd you do?
You know, I took up the ancient art of making fruit baskets.
Fruit baskets.
Not the wicker, like weaving basket part, but just like arranging, you know, fruit baskets. That's a new hobby I took up during the break.
Yeah. Well, how's that going?
Ah, man, I made like several. It's kind of cool.
Several baskets.
Several fruit baskets I've made.
Well, can I have one?
I mean, yeah. I made you one specific for you. It's cheese and beer.
Could I have it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's displayed in this lovely dark wicker basket.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah. You know, the trick is to thrift the baskets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep it going, right?
All right. So, Cal, would you like to know, in my personal life, what is the most asked show topic I have ever done?
The most asked show topic you have ever done?
That I've ever been asked, I should say.
That they asked you if you did it.
Or I should do it.
But have you done it yet?
No, I have not.
And you've been asked about it.
I've been asked about it a lot. So, Queen of the Night, right? Yeah. She asks me very often, can you do ghost trains?
Ah, ghost trains. Yeah.
Ghost trains. Yeah. Did you just shrug that off like, yeah, ghost trains?
I said, ah, ghost trains.
You weren't even surprised. That didn't even like. Are you at that point now where you've lost your childhood wonderment about what we talk about here on the show?
I was just saying, ah, ghost trains.
Ah, ghost trains. Yeah, like, wow, Bob, there's ghost trains?
Ooh, ghost trains. Oh, no.
Oh, no, listen. I thought, so there's the most famous ghost train story I've covered here once when we did the Haunted Cars episode with James from Peoria. We talked about that. We're going to repeat that story here tonight. That's like the most famous ghost train story. And I figured that was it. I figured I would not find any more. I spent several hours doing some research, and by God, I have a list of train ghost stories to tell you guys.
Okay.
So chew into the... On the Spooky Express, as Count Panic and I...
Is that what we were going to say? I guess. Well, yeah, choo-choo on it. Yeah.
Choo-choo on it, yeah. The Spooky Express. Oh, you don't seem thrilled.
I'm thrilled about it.
What's wrong?
I'm just making sure we're all choo-chooing on the Express
spooky,
here.
The Spooky Express. Yeah. Listen, I know what you're thinking. You're like, this is the most ridiculous show topic ever. No, my friend, because the man-eating gourd is still the most ridiculous thing.
It is a ridiculous one, but I mean, it's a one that people enjoy and like.
But ghost trains, you're saying is ridiculous.
No, I'm not saying it's ridiculous.
But I hear it in your brain. You're like, this is the most ridiculous thing
ever. It's not a ridiculous thing.
Is there anything like an actual train that's a ghost?
Yeah.
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 Okay. And fun fact, there's more than three ghost train stories. And the first ghost train story actually dates way back to about 1872. And I'm going to tell you a surprising place. If I was to say, hey, Count Panic, where do you think the ghost train story originated?
We got a lot of trains around here. Maybe Indiana?
No, in 1872.
Oh, maybe not that then.
Japan.
Okay, Japan.
So according to Michael Dylan Foster, who wrote the expose, Haunting Modernity, Tanuki Trains and Transformation, in Japan, on October 14th, 1872, the nation's first railroad line, an 18-mile stretch between Shinbashi and Yokohama, were officially opened. Government employees were given the day off, citizens lined the rail, the military fired salutes on land and sea, and Japanese officials and foreign dignitaries gathered at both stations to honor their monumental technological achievement. So trains, when they went to Japan, were a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, in America, we had, you know, it was a big deal for us too to have it. But in Japan, I mean, they had like, they brought the stuff. They brought it. You know, they brought it. Now, in Japan, they also are embedded deeply into their traditional culture, and in they're very. At least then, maybe still now too, the Japanese folk are very superstitious and they have belief in what's called a yokai. We've talked a little bit about it on the show before. We did the Tengu episode.
We talked about
the Yukiono a few times, whatever. But so yokai in essence is the Japanese take their version of a cryptid, a ghost, a demon, or sometimes a god, and they just shove it into this category known as yokai. And they could be as ridiculous as a walking, talking flip-flop.
Could be anything, yeah.
Or an instrument that comes to life. You know, there's a lot of yokai. I do, my anime convention fans know me as the yokai guy because I do a lot of yokai panel when I'm at the cons. But the most popular yokai, and I've never really talked about it live on Bob After Dark, is the concept of a tanuki.
Okay.
Do you know what a tanuki is?
I do not know what a tanuki is.
Okay, so a tanuki is more or less, it's a Japanese raccoon.
Okay.
And these raccoons in Japanese culture are like almost worshipped like gods. They're a shape-shifting creature. that have one very major characteristic, and I'm going to be very scientific about it. So the raccoons, and I'm not saying this for laughs, so just bear with me. Okay. They transform using their scrotum.
Okay.
Like, that's just it. That's how they're depicted.
That's the way it goes, yeah.
Exactly. And I'm not doing that for laughs. I'm serious. No. They're depicted like that in ancient scrolls. They talk about it in stories all throughout time. Even the family-friendly Miyazaki film Pompoko has that as their major transforming thing, and that's just it. So we're going to move on. But they can transform into not just, different shapes, but they can transform into people. They can transform into objects, other animals, household items. They're very trickstery creatures who very much like to drink.
Okay.
And they like to gamble.
Well, hey, why not?
Yeah, true story. Yeah, so yeah. Tanuki loves to gamble, and you can get them drunk, and they'll hang out with you. If you leave them out booze, they'll help you. They'll reward you by being helpful.
Really?
And if you don't give them booze, they could transform into like a household object and scare the crap out of you.
Well, that's something, Bob.
You know, and yokai are absolutely horrifying creatures for the most part. Like, a lot of them caused humanity a lot of harm and damage. Tanuki, they're just drunk and they're raccoons.
Well,
and they're
which could also cause damage, but maybe a property damage or something like that. But not the other damage we're talking about here.
Yeah. So
it's rambunctious.
So now that you know a little bit about the Tanuki, know that because the concept of modern Japan, like, coming into itself with technology is going to clash with, you know, original stories. And there's a lot of telltales, the concept of a Tanuki train. All right, so I'll explain what that means here in a moment, because I'm going to read you a story, and this once again comes out of Michael Dillon Foster's expose. This story comes to us from Tokyo. Now, there's a reclaimed land in the area around Shinagawa, but in those days, the waves ran against the shore, making a sound like pshan, pshan. It was a lonely place, and there were a lot of tanuki and kitsune there as well. Kitsune are like tanuki, except foxes. At night, when the train would run through the area, they would hear a sound, shoo, shoo, poo, 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 coming from the other direction. And they'd hear a steam whistle blowing, and they'd say, another train is coming. Mm. At first, even the conductor was thinking, we're going to crash. And he would stop his own train and have a look around. But the train from the other direction never came. This is strange, they'd think. And then one night, as always, the shoo, shoo, poo, poo, poo sound came. And they could hear the steam whistle again. And this time they thought, let's not worry about it. And they gave it more speed and went straight ahead. Everybody expected a head-on collision, but they just went right on with no problem. When the dawn broke, along the sides of the tracks on the foot of Mount Yatsu, they found a big tanuki lying there dead. Back in the days of the steam engines, there was always one track, so there was no way a train could randomly be coming from the other direction. Well, of course, it was just that tanuki enjoying imitating things. So, you know, you tell these stories and you got to think, where are they coming from culturally, right?
Yeah.
Do people believe that tanuki are real? Maybe not so much in 2023, but once upon a time ago, especially, you know, during the 1800s when trains were first being a thing, maybe they truly believed that tanuki were real.
Could be, possibly.
And if you're, you know, you got to think. So the story is that they laid all these railroad tracks down and they're cutting into the, you know, tanuki territory. And just like in the film Pompoko, they're doing everything in their power to scare away the humans. So in this case, the tanuki would shapeshift almost into a train noise, like a train whistle, just to try to scare off the other train. When in reality, the modern Japanese movement of engineering and stuff just plowed right through that. And here we are now. These days, you can still see some statues of tanuki kicking around, you know, Japan and whatnot. But that's the first stories of a phantom train, and they believe they were caused by the tricky raccoons and the tanuki.
Really? So do you follow this assessment along there, Bob? You really think that's what it was all about? That's the lore, of course, but you think it holds up in court?
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe. I think it's interesting because there's more than just that story of conductors believing that they were hearing other train whistles. And I mean, this story, they say that people found a dead raccoon on next to the tracks as if this train kind of plowed through them. So maybe modernization in Japan scared the Tanuki away, or maybe they shapeshifted into people that are still hanging around to this day. It's very possible, I guess. So if you believe that the Tanuki are real, maybe the story holds some concrete.
Could be so, yeah, possibly. Who are we to overrule it?
All right. Now, there is a... let's move on from Japan. So that's the first story of a ghost train that could possibly come by is caused by a shape-shifting raccoon.
There's more than one?
What, more than one
shape-shifting raccoon?
No, there's more than one ghost train story.
Okay.
So the most popular ghost train story is that of Abraham Lincoln's death train.
Death train.
So, you know, Abraham Lincoln, when he was assassinated,
yeah,
his body went on tour across the country.
Yes,
just about.
Yes.
And you know that his body was carried on a train. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
You should know that. I talked about it before.
It's history. When did you talk about
when
that
we did
before?
The ghost car story with James from Peoria.
Okay, but that was a little time back ago. So
okay.
I need a refresher, Bob.
Okay, so in April, and this is according to Ghost Albany, by the way. In April 1865, Abraham Lincoln's body began a funeral journey from Washington, D.C. via New York City to his hometown of Springfield, Illinois. Ever since then, in various parts of the nation, the train has been spotted toward the dusk on the day journeyed along for so long. Since then, a supernatural version has been running ever since. Some people believe that they see a steam train running slowly away, and with it goes darkness and the chills and the clouds that obscure the moon. Others claim that they think they see a train of crew of skeletons.
Mm.
Halfway back on the train, in Lincoln's coffin, surrounded by a crew of blue-coated skeletons. Or the train is just simply a blur. It has been reported seen between the 21st Street and all the way up to Albany over the original path by the old New York Central Railroad. Wherever the train passes, the clock always becomes 6 minutes late. In Spooky New York, S.E. Schlosser retells the arrival of the Lincoln Death Train inside Grand Central, which was built after his death. The rumors say that sometimes you cannot always see the train, but you can hear it or see its lights. The legend says that you can't, even if you can't see it, check your watch. People in close proximity have reported that their watches and clocks die at the exact same time the original train passed all of those years ago.
Ooh.
We have a caller.
We got one caller. Though.
Oh, let's take the caller live.
All right, we'll take it live right now.
Listener, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, John. Long time
hey,
no
how
here.
How the heck are you, my friend?
Oh, you know, doing the thing, John. How have you been?
I've been pretty good, but you know what? I'm waiting every Tuesday to call you, and I haven't been able to catch up with you.
It's been rough to get
the
live.
All the time, huh?
I'm on the road a lot, yes. So the episodes come out in podcast land. Maybe if a certain producer would play those for you, you could still hear and play catch up.
So the podcast.
Yeah, because you know what? I miss you on Tuesday. That's my
John. I miss you.
Know.
It's really nice to hear from you.
That's like my you get used to it. I've been calling every day or every Tuesday for the last, 3-4 years you've been on. So, you know, I miss that. And I miss you when
John,
you're on.
John, I
you
appreciate
know.
It. Are we going to see you Saturday?
I'll definitely be there.
Oh, John, that's going to be amazing. We're looking
you
forward
know,
to
that. You know, I've been there a couple times, and, you know, they got quite a bit of stuff there. But, you know, it's a nice little quiet place, that the atmosphere and that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
There you have it.
I'm looking forward to seeing you. So it's on your
and
brain.
Hey,
tonight.
What is this Tanuki? Is there a description of it? Do you know what it looks like?
It's a raccoon.
Oh, it's a raccoon.
It's a raccoon. It's a shape-shifting raccoon.
Okay, because I was going to say I'd get a, you know, if it was something bigger like a Bigfoot, I'd try to get an outfit and scare the hell out of these conductors on these trains that are blocking the roads.
I mean, maybe the Tanuki are hanging around Roxana these days. But no, it's just a raccoon that can shapeshift into different things.
Yeah, so I just thought I'd call and, you know, give you a shout-out that welcome back.
Oh, thanks, John. We appreciate you. I appreciate
you
a lot.
And I'll see you Saturday.
See you Saturday, John.
Yeah.
Okay, take care.
There we have it. There will be at least one person there that's not us.
Bob, regardless, the way
people
are. We
love John, yes. All right, so moving on here, that was the story of the Lincoln's ghost train. It's his funeral train, and it's apparently sited around the tracks of where it was first launched and it apparently changes people's watches to 6 minutes late, which is annoying, I would say.
Not too bad, I guess.
I don't know, man. Seeing a train of skeletons, what do you think about that?
That would be terrifying.
That'd be terrifying, yeah. I'm telling you. So no more thinking the ghost train thing's ridiculous, right?
No, Bob, I'm fully on board. I'm on board the ghost train now, yes.
All right, let's move on then. I'm glad you enjoyed that one. Yeah, that's the most famous ghost train story is the one about Lincoln's train. Let's move on here. According to the Canadian Traveler, the St. Louis Ghost Train, or the St. Louis Light, as it's more commonly known, isn't quite as grand as Lincoln's Phantom Train, but it has some similarities. This particular ghost train isn't carrying a dead president, nor does it stop the clocks as it passes. The ghost train is not so much a train, but a light. Coming up from the tracks, people claim to caught glimpses of a light moving up and down along the abandoned railroad line at night. The light appears to change color and varies in brightness, but it could not be a train, as the railway had the tracks removed long ago. It is so famous that it has been featured on many ghost stories, including my favorite, Unsolved Mysteries.
There you have it.
I've seen this episode before. Some 12th grade students thought they had the mystery all unraveled, though. They even won their local science fair for their theory. During their investigation, they duplicated the phenomena, which they determined was caused by a distraction of distant vehicle lights. For a while, it seemed, though, that the mystery has been solved, but here are two problems. The lights are reported to be seen before the cards even existed, and sometimes other lights appear that cannot possibly be caused by cards, as they appear in trees.
They appear in trees. How's that possible?
Well, apparently this ghost train is riding along these phantom tracks. So it's a phantom train on phantom tracks.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, why not? Why can't a phantom train run a phantom tracks?
You know, but here's the thing. There's not a story of if there's a train that derailed there or something. I don't have any information about that. But apparently these lights happen, and that's spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I could find why that exists, if the train didn't tip over and there wasn't like a traumatic incident that happened there, why would there still be a train riding up and down? And maybe it's a residual haunting, residual energy still kicking around.
Yeah.
But then you'd be hearing more stories about phantom cars then. So that baffles me. Why? Maybe it's a ley line. Maybe that's a possibility. Concept of ley line, really concentrated energy that kind of flows down a strip of land. Maybe that's what this is, and the lights are just stuff being drawn to the ley line. That's a possibility.
Yeah. But I mean, a phantom, a train, a phantom track, think about it logically, it could definitely be a thing, so to speak there. But yeah, you would think there would be a part of it that would be on the track because of what happened on the history there. So it really makes you think, Bob.
Yes. All right, let's move on. And I'm willing to apologize for this one.
Yeah.
I don't speak Swedish.
Neither do I.
So I'm going to butcher these.
Yeah.
You know, some of the Germanic-like languages I can get through because I speak German, but this one's brutal.
A little too much?
So we're going to try it, though. So according to Mental Floss, the Swedish legend of the silver pylon, or the silver arrow, goes back to the 1960s when the Stockholm Metro purchased 8 trains made out of aluminum. The material was standard enough for the time, but the most Stockholm Metro cars were painted green. The transit authorities decided to leave these bare, which made them stand out from the rest of the cars. That wasn't the only thing that made these trains seem unusual. The interiors were laid out a little differently and were missing the usual graffiti and advertisements. Soon a legend was born. For the Stockholm's commuters and any component of public infrastructure, so pure, so unblemished, must have been a ghost. Of course, any good ghost train needs a ghost train station. According to legend, the train's destination was equally unsettling, totally abandoned stations in Kymlinge, K-Y-M-L-I-N-G-E. In Stockholm, there's a saying that loosely translates to, only the dead get off and climb Linge. Hmm. As the corresponding story goes, once you board the Silver Arrow, you never get off. Not because you get murdered, but because the train gets stuck in some kind of time loop and rides for an eternity. In another version of the legend, the train does stop eventually, but only once a year. At that point, all the passengers have been on the train for so long that they appear to be among the undead, and the unleashed on the city in some kind of scenario out of The Walking Dead. The truth of the Silver Pylon and Kamange is perhaps the most interesting. The city of Stockholm was running the stripped-down train as a test. If the public didn't seem to be bothered by the bare-bones trains, the local transportation agency figured they would be free to construct a cheaper fleet. But the people of Sweden thought the Silver Arrow, a nickname that seemed to pop up soon after the trains were introduced, looked derelict and, frankly, downright dystopian. The creepiness factor was such that even if the train was running and relatively empty compared to the grimy, old, familiar green train, Stockholm locals avoided it. So while the Metro used the trains as backup during the rush hour for several decades, they were never very popular. As for Kvamlange, the construction of the station began just a few years after the so-called Silver Arrow started running. It was never finished because the expected demand for the station tied to a nearby redevelopment project never arrived. The bare look of the station must have been reminded of the Silver Pylon. For people just figured if you come across an abandoned, halfway finished subway station and you already have a creepy ghost train, you're just going to pair them up.
Yeah.
What's so wonderful about the story of the Silver Pylon is that unlike other urban legends, all the major pieces are real. Really is a silver train in a never-finished abandoned subway station. In fact, cars of the Silver Arrow train weren't decommissioned until the 1990s. Despite the fact that the train has been seen on the tracks for generations, the legend has been passed down, and younger generation of Swedes still whisper about its ghostly presence.
It's going back that far, huh?
Yes. So what's your take so far?
Again, I could see it definitely being a thing. Even with all these stories, they kind of unravel to be I kind of feel like they have a connection. Well, the connection being the train, of course. But, no different here. I mean, look at locally too, Bob. Think about the region we're in, Chicagoland area. I don't know if you're going to get to this or not, but I know we have our own history of some ghost trains too around here. But from here to Sweden, there seems to be no shortage, really.
Yeah, I was actually hoping we could talk a little bit about the Sherman's Rest.
Well, I didn't know if you had that or not.
Okay. We could talk about it. You can actually lead that conversation.
Well, I need some facts there, but I know it happened here.
Okay,
locally.
So let's hear. I want to hear what you never tell me stories.
No, what year was that? That was, do you have it on you? The year of, long ago, not too far from where we stand or sit here in Hammond, Indiana. Just really around the bend here, there was that train accident with
1918.
But there was a couple of them, wasn't there? Wasn't there also one in actually Chicago too? Or was there only one?
I only know the one I've come across in my study.
Made or buried in the cemeteries over there. Yeah
they're buried sense. They're buried in the Woodlawn Cemetery in Forest Park.
Okay,
but the train crashed not too.
That's
far
what
away
I'm thinking
here.
Of. That's what I'm. So they're buried over there because when I did the Richard Crow tour back a long time.
Look
ago.
At you just rubbing into my face. You got to do a tour with the ghost.
This was within his last couple of years, I believe. Yeah. Here. After we ate at Portillo's, we went to the cemetery to check out that area, and there was a. They were buried there, but it just happened here. Really, wow. Think, Bob, probably 7 minutes away from where we're at here.
Okay, so now that I gave you the year, you want to tell the folks what Sherman's Rest is, what the story of the train was?
Well, I don't have it on in front of me there.
Okay,
but...
fine. I was hoping. Listen, I know. Don't worry. Okay. I got notes, but all I was right. You brought it up and you're going to talk about it. Good. You could talk for once.
I don't know the facts. I don't want to steer people in the wrong direction. I do know there was a train circus crash that happened very closely by us. What did cause that?
Okay, so it was the Hagenbach Wallace Circus train of June 22nd, 1918, killed an estimated 86 and injured right around 127 out of the 400 performers around Hammond, Indiana. The circus, one of the largest at the time, was heading to Hammond for a performance when the empty troop train, piloted by the engineer Alonzo Sargent, who had previously been fired for sleeping on the job, barreled into the circus train from behind at full speed, destroying the three sleeping cars. Many of those killed in the collision and subsequent fire are buried in a mass grave at Showman's Rest in Woodlawn Cemetery in Forest Park, Illinois. It is a absolutely horrific story because the Showman's Rest is a real thing that happened. People from Chicagoland, especially right around here, it's a pretty well-known story. So the circus train was crashed into, people died, the animals died. And to this day, people that live up and around that area between Hammond and Gary where the train crashed at, people still believe that they hear, you know, animal noises like lion roars and elephant, you know, noises to this day. I haven't heard, I never heard anything about seeing the Phantom Train as I do like the victims of the train crash. I also have heard reports of people hearing the train crash. So just for argument's sake, because I can't do an entire episode on Sherman's Rest because it's not that long of a story, I figured I would toss it in here as well.
Yeah, for sure.
I have friends in the circus industry, and I know that sounds really weird to say out loud, but I promise you it makes sense to me. They do their pilgrimage every year to Sherman's Rest to go pay respects to the circus performers that lost their lives in that awful train accident. You know, we talk a little bit about the other ghost trains. I mean, Abraham Lincoln's death train is one, but this one was like a legitimate tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying the other ones aren't.
No,
but,
of course not.
You know, not saying, you know, Lincoln's assassination wasn't a tragedy, but this one just, it's close to home because it happened right here.
It's literally close to home, yeah.
I would say that's probably, as far as Northwest Indiana stories are concerned, I would say that's probably the most popular, other than Bachelor's Grove, is the story of like the circus train crash.
Do you know if we have a marker over there, or they were trying to get a marker there?
Chuck Boland, who was in our Northwest Indiana episodes, and who was just here helping us with gear.
He was.
He's been petitioning for years for them to put a marker out there for the performer.
They should.
Yeah, 100%. Don't get me wrong. You could go to the rest in the cemetery. I've been there before. Well, it's they do a good job. They did a good job memorializing it. But in my opinion, there needs to be a plaque out there because it's just an empty field, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even know where exactly it would be.
It's down, right, general area, but
the exact point of the crash without maybe a marker there or something.
Sure. But that's the Sherman's Rest story. I just wanted to finish up with that one because that one's a tragedy. It's not necessarily a ghost train, but, you know.
No, but there are cases. Aren't there cases, I don't know if it's still going on, that in that area people did hear, like, and it could be just lore at the end of the day. I don't know if there's anything really documented about that, of a train noise going by.
I've heard reports, yeah. But
or like visions of ghosts.
I've never heard of like a phantom like train.
Could be lore too.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen Richard Crowe doing investigations of that area and was trying to prove that, you know, the animal noises and whatnot, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
And so anyway, ghost trains
makes you want to maybe not go on the train anymore. I don't know.
I know. I at the beginning of this episode, your words to me were, "Oh, okay, ghost trains."
Oh yeah, yeah.
But here we are. We have finished up some stories about ghost trains. What's your opinion now? Is your enthusiasm peaked a little bit more?
I meant that. Oh yeah, ghost trains. No, for sure. And again, it's a very interesting topic. Some of these stories very tragic, of course. But you know, you think about ghost tracks and ghost trains and ghost passengers and skeleton passengers, ghost conductors, skeleton conductors. Really, makes you think about and consider things. Makes me think about what the last time was when I was on a train. Bob, it's been a while since I've been on the train.
When's
the last time you were on the train?
September,
okay, that's not too far.
I took the Metro from basically Wisconsin to Chicago.
Really?
Northwest Indiana, yeah.
Now, when you were taking the Metro, did you pass any on the opposite tracks? Did you pass any ghost trains?
I did not, but now I'm going to pay attention every time I'm on the train.
Skeleton passengers.
Yes. There's also the scene in Ghostbusters 2, the Albany. I can't think of the train number. You know,
yeah.
Never mind.
I'm hip on the movie.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Somebody was bringing it up, and then there's obvious Ghostbusters things I could do here, but I'm not going to steep that low because that's an obvious thing for me.
And you did. You had enough ghostbusting action.
I certainly did.
I'm glad you're here, by the way, because that's usually a rough weekend, isn't it?
3 days, sir, of being a Ghostbuster.
Three days.
I'm glad I'm here.
Early parade.
And I'm glad we got to talk about ghost trains. Fitting. Now I need to see if I can find ghost airplane stories.
That'd probably be hard to pull off.
Let me see what I can find.
Because I feel like there is quite a bit of ghost trains, but ghost airplanes, I never heard of a ghost airplane.
No.
To be honest, I never knew about ghost trains before I really started doing research. I knew about the Sherman's Rest thing, but I don't believe, you know, that's, again, that doesn't click in my brain when it comes to a ghost train. It comes to me as like a tragedy where there might be some hauntings about it.
Yeah.
And I knew about Lincoln's train. So I knew about that, but that's about it.
That's about it.
Yep.
Well, now we know more. We're better for it.
And now, and you know what? It's even more surprising that the legend starts all the way in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah. In dealing with the yokai making their own version of the train and try to scare off the trains from moving through their land in the forest area.
Just talk to those drunken raccoons out there.
Panic, what's your final, what's your words of wisdom that you're going to leave us with tonight?
My words of wisdom that I'm going to leave you with tonight. Be careful the fortune tellers that you trust and believe in, because you never know if they're trying to pull your leg.
Or if they're a tanuki.
Or if they're a tanuki, too. And also, watch out for those raccoons. They like to throw a few back. But Bob, once again, another episode in the books. It's time we take the long train home. Not a crazy
take
train.
Take the long train home.
Home.
Folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me and Count Pank, we just want to say sweet dreams to several folk, including yourselves. Mom, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy and comfortable in the TIFF. No matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are, not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.